Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 233 of the Ant King Frequency. How are you going, Larry?
Well, you're wrong, man. We shouldn't just say ladies and gentlemen. We should also say PRISM and the CIA and NSA and everybody else that's listening. And probably the Soviets and the, well,
Vlad.
Call them Russians today.
Winnie, how you going, Winnie? Find any honey lately?
Winnie the Pooh and May. Oh my God! I love how they've turned May into a protest symbol. That Blizzard, we haven't played Overwatch in what, 3-4 months.
Well, like, I've played peeps, but yeah.
Well, you have, but I'm feeling when they were talking about retiring a character. I think the first person that's going to be retired is going to be May.
Yeah, it'd be problematic.
you can't do Winnie the Pooh is code word in China for their president Xi Jinping, and apparently. They couldn't say, you know, you couldn't criticize Ping or Z, President Z, so they criticized Winnie the Pooh. And there's photos of Winnie the Pooh and, like, Tigger, Winnie the Pooh, and Eeyore. And it's, like, photos look almost exactly like when he's posing, like, oh, here's Obama, or here's the Prime Minister of Japan. It's, like, straight up, there's, like, one where that President Z is in a convertible or something. And he's standing outside waving his hand. There's a Winnie the Pooh toy doing the same thing. It's great. It's great.
I don't quite get, though, why she's become an anti-China icon, given that she contextually comes from the province of Xi'an, which is, like, right in the middle of the place.
Well, the reason is because of Blizzard censoring a Hearthstone player who, you know, the guy wins the tournament. Two of the hosts kind of encourage the guy. They duck under the table. He's voices in Cantonese, I believe, or Mandarin. Oh, it's Mandarin. Okay. He's full support for the freedom of people of Hong Kong and for liberation of Hong Kong. And Blizzard's like, you can't do this. You know, you can't be political, just that, even though they're, you know, they do all the time pro LGBT, you know, that. Those issues, they're pro that, but when it comes to China, they're going to be releasing the new mobile Diablo game, as well as Activision, which is Blizzard Activision, releasing Call of Duty Mobile and all this other stuff within China. They don't want to rock the boat, and China's very people co-opted, made it a meme to take May and turn the Chinese, the puffy Chinese. Ice Maiden and turn her into a protest symbol, putting a bandage over her eye and having her hold the sign, you know, please shut my eye, or, you know, calling her freedom. There were people that dressed her up like Winnie the Pooh. I did something like that. I kind of killed a couple birds with one stone with, you know, a little political drawing I did, because I was like, yeah, good for people of Hong Kong. I'm like, you know, they're doing, you know, they're, you know, they want some independence. They don't want mainland China to be able to, like, all right, we're going to extradite that guy, and hold him indefinitely and harvest their organs. But,
yeah.
So, yeah, they're fighting back with, so, well, we can't have masks. We'll go after anybody with a mask. And so they put face paint on, like it's like Joker. It's like Insane Clown Posse. Like, they're going to war. It's like, it's war paint. And I'm like, this is, oh, they're fighting back with their cameras with these, like, facial recognition cameras are cutting down the posts and hitting cameras with lasers. And it's, I'm like, this is how you fight back without, like, you know, tanks and guns. It's like, you know, you're being a little smart about it. I don't know. I support the people.
Two things. Firstly, I would have thought they would have chosen a more Hong Kong relevant video game icon. Like Fei Long from Street Fighter, or
Capcom hasn't, you know, told people basically
the,
you know,
lead guy from Sleeping Dogs.
It's all because of Blizzard. It was a perfect storm. Blizzard screwed up, and then apparently when they posted the thing, it's like, okay, we're not going to suspend them for a year and suspend the host of the podcast for a year, the stream for a year. We're going to only suspend him for 6 months, and we're going to give the game, the Hearthstone player money. And It was posted on the 12th. Now, when this thing went online, it was still the 11th in the East Coast United States, which means it's still earlier than that on the West Coast United States. Little digital sleuths figured out to be posted on the 12th, it'd have to come from China, and it did. It was they're part of their – so they screwed up. they didn't cover their tracks good enough.
Well, and so, funnily enough, this actually ties into what I wanted to discuss today.
You did. So what do you want to discuss, my friend?
Well, you've mentioned the Hong Kong protest. Mm-hmm. We've had a protest of maybe far lower attention in on the global political scene here in Australia. We've had, I don't even remember what it's called. It's like the climate rebellion or something they're calling it. Have you had anything like that overseas?
There are some people like there were some, we got to fight climate change.
Extinction Rebellion. That's what it's called. Extinction Rebellion.
Wait, that's the one where they basically recruited school children, used them as human meat puppets for their political cause. You're killing my future, or some garbage like that.
Yeah. So all they've really done is, from my sort of middle of political view observation, just inconvenience the working class. By blocking up streets with traffic, doing things like gluing themselves to an aeroplane, just causing general havoc around the central business district, which, like I said, doesn't really affect the highs and mighties. They've all got their underground garages and helicopters, if they so choose.
Armed security too.
Well, there's not much armed security here. This isn't Max Payne 3, but look, what I wanted to get to, Larry, was does protesting actually work today?
I say no. Honestly, the reason I say no is because we've seen it's been overused. Now, back in the day when people would protest, people would be tarred and feathered, people would be hit with stuff. Basically, now it would be considered terrorist action. You know, there's a saying, I think it's Thomas Jefferson, but it was the Tree of Liberty needs to be watered with the blood of patriots. Mm-hmm. These kind of things. Like, protesting in the streets, like when, like the Boston Massacre, like five people got shot. They were protesting, and the British, shot five of them, and there was like a couple hundred people there, probably more than that. So five people died out of a crowd of that, but it kicked off, it helped one of the things towards the revolution, or as really, it wasn't only a revolution, it was America. There's a game called Battlefield 3, and in the game they mention something, and I can't help but sing it. America is a nation founded by terrorists. We were fighting uncivilized compared to everybody else the British had faced. We were sniping commanding officers. We were basically dirty tricks. We were dirty because we had we were the equivalent of the North, like the Algeria,
sure,
1950s. Terror, but we were terrorists. We, America, you wonder why like all the shootings and horrific stuff happened? Because America, we're terrorists. We don't admit this. This is, why do you think we love our guns so much? You try to take a gun from a terrorist, what do you think will happen? He's going to shoot you. And you get like a lot more complacent people that don't like, oh, guns are scary. Like, oh, guns are bad and horrible. I never want to see a gun in my life. And it's like, those people don't go out protest. The people that don't have guns usually, but these don't have guns, but they'll use bike locks and other stuff, and they do more damage to any protest cause. Like, okay, we're protesting Nazis. I'm like, the only Nazis are probably alive are in South America at this point, and they're very old.
But
if they're still
alive. When was the last genuine protest that you can think of? Well, last effective protest, I mean.
Well, let's see. Last effective protest.
I mean, you've got famous protests, stuff that's stuck in the minds of people, like Tiananmen Square, that iconic shot of the people sticking flowers in the rifles.
The best thing was that scene from Watchmen where they invert and get shot. It's like dirty hippies.
Technically you've got protestful acts. Like if you ask me, protestful acts, usually by individuals, are better than these mass protests. You know, Rosa Parks is a perfect example. Or what was diner sit-in?
That's the thing. She wasn't the first. That's the Rosa Parks. Everybody's like, "Oh, Rosa Parks," but is the okay? You know, the school from season 4 of The Wire.
Yeah.
The school that Przybylowski teaches in.
Yeah.
That I forget the name of the school, but that's actually named after the first woman, the first black woman to do what Rosa Parks did. The difference is Rosa Parks had the connections. She had connections to Martin Luther King Jr., and so like it was able to. They were able to blow it up in the media. And get like more eyes on it, but she wasn't the first to do the bus protest thing,
right? So the first one the first people to do it had no traction with the media. That's what you're saying,
exactly. It's also about connections to media, and for all these other these protests like the Women's March, the what came out of that. Did anything really change? No. People just looked at him as crazy people with vagina hats on. You know, like, oh, I got to crochet. Like, and then what is that telling anybody? That, I can go over here and do this. Like, so you travel over here, even if you're, like, next town over. If you live in the D.C. metro area, still go there for that. That's pointless. You know, I did see somebody something funny. It was left a bunch of protest signs,
I was just going to say Edward Tilghman High School is the name of the high school in The Wire.
No, it was different. I swear it's something else. It was a woman's name. I don't know. It was, but there was a woman. I've had too many hits to the head. Maybe I'm misremembering something. Maybe it wasn't The Wire. Maybe it was something else. I don't know.
Yeah, the principal of Edward J. Tilghman Middle School.
Okay, I must be misremembering things. So ignore what I said. But honestly, other than in Tiananmen Square, I mean, like at the end of the day, that that's remembered for how China did not save face. They did not, that's remembered very poorly on their part. But as successful goes, I mean. I really don't think anything's changed. They've just locked things down much more. They've, just like anything else. It's like, I can't think of a single off the top of my head, they protested, things changed for the better, and like they succeeded in all their goals. Like all the protests, like even the violence back in the 60s, like the Weather Underground and everything, when they're blowing defense contractor labs up and you had all these people just going around blowing stuff up, these like anti-war movements and everything, and even the protests in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention, it's turned violent, and the Chicago cops are busting skulls open. This is back when the Democrats were, everybody looked at them because they were. This is like when Lyndon Johnson was like gung ho with the Vietnam War, leading up into that, leading up to Nixon. Eventually doing the same thing.
But what's the intent? What's the aim of a protest? Why does one protest?
If you listen to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., it's the protest is the voice of the unheard and all that. It's their protest. Like me, it's like honestly, I think anybody protesting, it's like it's a waste of time because it's showing how impotent oh my God, we're, you know, I got signs and I got chance and, you know, we're, they got to go, hey, hey, ho, ho, whatever, that kind of crap. You want to make actual changes a lot harder than protesting. And what I, by that means, you had either have to grassroots your own candidates in there and trust that you picked the right ones that aren't just getting in there for their own sake, that they actually will work for the people. Fat chance on that. Or you go the other route. And by the other route, I mean violence. Unmitigated, horrific violence to get your point across. And once you go down that route...
Yeah, that doesn't get a point across. political action through violence is war.
Well, it truly is terrorist acts. They're violent acts. It's like
let's say they're not violent. Let's give both parties the benefit of the doubt. Let's say the protesters are civil and the agents of authority overseeing the protest, maybe keeping things, you know, controlled, are civil and reasonable as well. Why would one protest? What does one hope to achieve other than inconveniencing and possibly turning away potential new recruits from your cause?
Well, that's the thing. That's the issue right in there. It's like for civil authorities, police, law enforcement, all that stuff, to allow them to chain themselves up or barricade highways or stand in the middle and block up traffic, you know, this is a part of our protest. When the notion is like, well, why ain't somebody just plowing through them? And though they said like Charlottesville, that was, there were actually people beating the guy's car with baseball bats, and you know, they ran into him and then backed over people too, and all this and that. And it's not the same as there's people protesting middle of the street and the guy's like, oh, screw it, and just runs them down. There's the difference between that and that.
Yeah.
But I don't think these people are there. They say they're there for good intentions, and perhaps they are. But like I said, it's more about being impotent. They are frustrated and they're upset and they're angry, and I'm going to get community together. We're going to get a politician in there and it's going to do something for us. Hell, I'll go be a politician. I'll raise the funds and I'll do this and that. I'll make the connections in the community and I'll make a change and I'll be the change that this community needs. And I'm going to make a stand. I'm going to fight for these people because nobody else will do it, because I'll have to stand up and do it myself. That's a lot harder than getting a piece of, you know, cardboard, putting some words on it, like, you know, freedom, free healthcare now, or open borders for everyone, and then march and chant and all that kind of stuff. Because I think a lot of people that protest want to belong. They just want to belong with a group because it feels safe and comfortable. And you can say, I was there. I don't think that's actually going to solve anything. And same thing with law enforcement. Like, also, political people, they got the connections. They don't need, oh, no, people are protesting, yawn. You know, so that's how I look at it.
Yeah. Look, it for me, I think people have confused action and disruption for similar terms. Because to disrupt can very much... work against any message you're trying to convey. If I had to protest, if I had to get a point I felt passionately enough across that I felt everyone should hear it and listen to it and live by it, that's the change these climate people are implementing. And I'm not saying whether their material is right or wrong. I do agree that we've reached a critical mass as far as the climate is concerned, and you know, we're going to be like the Mars bases from Total Recall pretty soon.
I think that won't be the case, because everybody concerns about global warming and all this and that. I'm not concerned with global warming. I'm concerned with Yellowstone, a caldera
up. No. Yeah, you have every right to be concerned about. I'm not. But you have every right to be concerned.
No, you will too. Because here's the thing: even though you're in a different hemisphere, the amount of heat loss when Toba disaster 75,000 years ago Indonesia, you know, it's still technically a theory, because this so far back, so much weathering and everything, temperatures dropped 50 degrees, or was it like 20 some odd Celsius. It basically, on average, globally. So, in the middle of summer here, we can get about 100 degrees. It'd be like 50 degrees. Like, we're only talking, like, what, 13 degrees Fahrenheit for you?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, right, you know, basically, imagine that. And that's at, like, the equator. That's, like, around the and maybe you might get a couple of glimpses of the sun. But when Toba went, and the same thing could happen with Yellowstone. And probably worse, because when Toba, it was surrounded by water, Yellowstone, and also it's on the western, it's Wyoming, so Pacific Northwest, would not too far from the San Andreas Fault. God forbid that could set that off and drop that into the ocean. That means
goodbye, North California. America's covered.
Goodbye, California. Welcome to Sub Diego. North America be covered with the debris.
Volcanic ash and debris, yeah.
Volcanic ash. And well, not just that, but smoke, too, because of the fires. Because there's forests. I mean, you got to think, the western U.S.
You guys are going to cook.
Forests. Exactly. And then Europe's going to get it, and that stuff's going to spread. And eventually it's like, oh, you're okay down, you know, the southern hemisphere. When that starts dropping off, you're used to cold.
I'm not saying we're not going to be disrupted, but I'm just going to say you're giving, you know, the anus of hell a rim job. We're just in the room.
Well, the thing about it is, like, here in the States, we have an issue with everybody's like, oh, global warming. And I'm like, we want to talk about Western. You know, how about shut up about the global warming for the Westerns? Go talk to China. Go talk to India. Go talk to the third world countries that are pumping out garbage into the atmosphere.
Yeah, but who are they pumping it out for? They're pumping it out for us.
No, I'm talking about the coal and unregulated coal. Like they're not using the most.
Why do we ship all our factories and call centers and service industries over there? Because they don't give a rat's about that.
Well, that's
why they're
thing.
So it's cheap.
Like but you try telling someone that's bitching about paying $700 for a phone, but if you pay an extra $300, you can get it made in your own country. Oh, I don't want to pay extra $300.
Yeah, you can get it made in your country sustainably from repurposed parts from old phones.
And employing people within your own country, and it could be like truly like you can make stuff in Australia too. Yeah. Make stuff in America. But
I love
the idea.
But I wouldn't do it. Money's tight.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. It's like you can go without. You know what?
If the government restricted it and put such things in.
But that's the whole issue. It's like they are not going to do that. But the idea.
It depends. Look at Japan. Japan, it is illegal to throw out electronics.
Well, that's what they're built. They're building a space colony. Nobody's telling nobody. But they got teleporters already. They're advanced.
They've repurposed hundreds of thousands of jobs and created a whole new secondary industry from repurposing all these old electronics into new ones.
Yeah, Japan. If they.
Japan's worked it out. Japan's worked out, much like Earth, they're a little island in the middle of nowhere with hostile forces all around them, living a zero-sum game. They've got a limited amount of resources they can pull upon and a limited amount of resources they send out elsewhere, and so they have to make do with what they've got. And that's ultimately like Earth.
Yeah, we have to get better, but the idea of going out there and chaining yourself to gluing yourself to a plane, I'm like, if someone glued a plane, I'm a pilot, I'm like, I'm taking off. But I'm stuck. I was like, I don't care. I got a place to be. Because eventually you get up like 30,000 feet, that glue is going to, their skin's going to separate from the glue, and then fly off with the drill.
At the takeoff speed, they'd probably lose a lot of, skin.
Limbs too, because the shearing forces, like their bones would break, and what ain't it ain't like, you know, when it ain't aerodynamic, you better hope that you glued yourself face first, because if you didn't, your foot, which is going to be like that, that thing's going to go like this and then fly off.
They'd it's look like the human equivalent of a grazed knee. There'd just be a scab on the airplane.
It's like you like land and there's like pelicans pecking at the wherever you are, you're like pecking at the remains. But you know, Larry doesn't care about protesters. I really don't. I
just think they're doing it wrong. If I had to protest, right? Well, I'll ask you. I'll turn it to you first. Let's say there's a point you genuinely believe in, that you feel the whole global stage needs to start living their life according to X. How would you get that out there?
Okay, well, simple little thing. Like, I'd start small. Mm. Contribute a small amount as far as, like, okay, the Hong Kong protest, anti-Xi Jinping, and also, like, screw you, Blizzard. I drew a sexy picture of Overwatch's Mei dressed like Winnie the Pooh, eating a jar of honey in front of the reversed, as in the flag is this in when you like basically we turn the American flag upside down and fly it, that signals distress.
Yep.
Same thing with the Hong Kong flag, turned upside down, signals distress, and she's eating this thing of honey and saying, "Tastes like freedom." Tastes like freedom, and it's my way of giving like three middle fingers, even though I have two hands. So there you go. That was my little contribution.
Yeah.
That is a sign of protest. It's nothing. It ain't like to me. That is more.
So lazier. So on a macro scale, you'd probably start a movement through the artistic community. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, visual. Like the idea of like, you know, eventually they will cut off, you know, once they cut off the online access, then they pretty much lost, because they start restricting finding workarounds. The idea of memeing something into being, oh, the black suit Spider-Man doing his dance or this kind of thing, and it's doing some kind of joke.
Yeah.
And John Travolta. Yeah, exactly. John Travolta, looking for politicians with spines. He's looking around and, like, kind of shrugging his shoulders. Yeah, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
It's making a joke out of it, because the best way to cut through their BS is to use humor.
Well, that's what I was thinking, Larry. That's my strategy. Yeah. So what I would do is I would pay a comedian to produce a routine and start to air that somewhere. Because I've got this view about comedy. Comedy is one of the purer art forms. And I know that sounds a bit wanky, but get this.
Not necessarily.
When it comes to the dissemination of information, people only laugh at what they're taking in. So for them to actually find something funny and laugh at it means they've taken it in and processed it. Even if humor is too clever for some people, or they don't know what they're laughing at, they're still processing it, finding humor in it, and laughing at it. Now, if you come to me with point X by disrupting my life and making my life harder, if you make it harder for me to get to work, which is already a fucking chore with two small kids to get to daycare, two different daycares each morning.
Oof.
So I have to get them fed, dressed off. Yeah, my wife chips in, but she's on early shift. She does 6 a.m. starts. So I have to get these kids fed, dressed at daycare number one, at daycare number two, with zero disruptions, all in a dedicated fixed timeline just so I can get to work. Now, if you disrupt that fragile homeostasis I have going there, I don't care what you're telling me. I don't care if you've got the winning Powerball numbers for me. I am going to destroy you. And before even listening to anything you've got to say, you're dead to me. You're dead. You're gone. You know what I mean? Go to the funeral home, get measured up for, you know, a pine box, because that's what you are to me.
Well, you don't mess around. But but to cut through, like you said, cut through it with the humor, get the comedic routine, And, you know, already you can get comedians, like, you throw them enough money, you can get them to, like, give you, like, shout-outs and, like, you know, or whatever, that kind of thing. So you throw them enough money, they could do a routine.
Yeah.
Even if it's, like, a 15, like, not even 15 minutes, like, 5 minutes, like, a five-minute quick routine, like, a, just a quick little bump, 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 something that could easily be shareable online. It's like, you don't want an hour-long routine or something.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Look at something like Australian comedian Hannah Gadsby's Nanette. Huge political movement piece. Are you familiar with the stand-up?
I am to a degree. I'm kind of...
I don't think it's your cup of tea. In fact, I don't think it's my cup of tea. It wasn't meant for us. It was meant for her, primarily, from the sounds of it. But it was also meant for people of a similar struggle to her, that being... an alternative homosexual growing up in a sort of a backwards country town, in a world that makes life very hard for said people, even when they get out of that town. So I can definitely see the commentary there and how it was never made for me to laugh at. So it's silly for me to watch it and abuse it for not being subjectively funny to me.
I do think that comedy, like even something which would be necessarily unrelatable, you can make the unrelatable funny. It's all about delivery and approach. And that, but that's, you know, that's my
It depends. One comedian I love, I can't get anyone to laugh at, is Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn, it's like, well, even when he's talking about like the American Constitution, he can make the American Constitution funny. The guy, Colin Quinn, is one of the funniest guys. His delivery, if you've never watched Tough Crowd, which is a short-lived, unfortunately, Comedy Central series, where he'd have the best comedians of all time up there, then some, you'd have, like, that fan, and it's, like, you know, these, like, they're, like, Comedy Central pushing certain people, but you have, like, the late Patrice O'Neill, Greg Giraldo, George Carlin, you know, these
George
very,
Carlin, there's another one.
Well, the George Carlin, there you go. And then, like, but you had but everyone loves up him. There. Yeah. But this is that, you know, to cut through the like I said, the BS. I keep saying it, but that's what it really is at the end of the day, because even if this is like, well, this is fact. Oh, this is how it is. This is what don't know. But there's always subterfuge going on. But to make someone laugh, and like, hey, you got a point, you know, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
That right there is more powerful than blocking up traffic or spray painting a mural, defacing this, that, whatever, or throwing a garbage can through a window because your protest has been so ineffectual. You got to do something against the machine, man.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a truth in comedy. I think only a certain number of people will watch Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth.
Which, oh yeah, New York's gonna be underwater by 2015. Hey Al, but, what do you say, Al?
But if someone goes to, you know, a comedian espousing similar themes, but in a way that people find funny, you'll get 100% turnout.
Yeah, to a degree, yeah. I think you won't necessarily get 100, but you'll get a lot of people. I think they're gonna be, you know, a little bit more. I think people have gotten a lot more jaded, a lot more skeptical and everything
like
that.
If I send you a YouTube video saying, this dude is funny, watch this, it doesn't matter what they're talking about. You're still going to put 60 seconds in to watch it, right?
Yeah. Well, it depends on if it's really bad, you might give 30. Wow. It's like, I'll give you, it's like, ugh, this is rough. It's like, because like me and Antonio, sometimes our humor does not overlap. Something he finds funny. And then something I find funny, he finds horrific.
And sometimes Larry thinks it's funny to just send me video of hell in the middle of my workday.
Well, it's like, that's why I said not safe for work. Not safe for, I think I said not safe for work, not safe for human beings or the living or something like that. Not safe for the living. It's because it's like one of those, it's like that scene from Event Horizon where he rips out his eyeballs and presents them. And that's basically it.
That was pretty much what I felt like doing in the lunchroom at work today.
You felt like you felt like you went through the event horizon, you were in hell, like, you know, like hell came back with you.
Yep.
You can't escape it. It's in your pores. But yeah,
you're like this Cenobite that's laughing. Cenobite.
I have so much pleasures to show you.
Exactly, that's Larry. Pinhead Larry.
Even Pinhead over and over, like, that's a little too much for me. He's like, I've seen stuff. But, yeah, like, some of it, like, looked straight out of, like, Hellraiser. But it's, I think you're right. We're both like, in the same vein. Like, I think images would do better than a routine. Because images you can print out and paste, and you can print them out to posters, you can print them out stuff and put them on walls, and the image can be burned in somebody's head and catch. Like the image of the female protester in Hong Kong, where she's got the eye patch and the Nazi frog, Pepe the Frog, with his eye patch as well, this kind of thing, and it's spread. And like, you know, police shot my eye. It's like crude English, but it's effective.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know,
we're in the age of meme culture. We're in the age where a random picture, a screenshot of an 80s TV show with three or four words in white impact font text at the bottom.
I know it ain't 80s, but the only thing I can think of is it's the Bob Crane ghost. What you're calling me? Hogan's Heroes. He was a freaky sexual pervert who got like his head caved in. It was like, just say Antonio sent it to me one time. I'm throwing him under your bus here, folks. But yeah, it was like that kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Like meme, fun. One image is all you need.
Yeah. And it's permanently seared into your mind. I mean, that's the benefit of the meme age.
Oh my God. It's beautiful. Beautiful stuff. But yeah, it burns in your head, and I think that this is the kind of stuff, it's more creative ways, because the more, let's see, destructive or, not destructive, what do you call it, disruptive, yeah, disruptive, yeah. The more disruptive you are to the common man, or woman, or whatever, you are going to make the people that you want to recruit to bring into the fold. You're going to be like, you ruined my day. I don't, like you said, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like that's the same thing. Like, you know, I've never crossed a picket line, but I wouldn't have an issue. Even though I grew up in a union family and surrounded by union people. And the idea is like, okay, you know, don't cross the picket line. You gonna hit me because I crossed your picket line? The hell with you. The hell with your little thing. It's like, you know, you're the dummies that gave money to the Democratic Party, and what have they done? They imported cheaper labor, and you put yourselves out of a job funding people, and now you want to take it out on the common man. Don't cross the picket line. You know, solidarity.
But the common man is nobody. I'm nobody.
Yeah.
Your beef is with the lizard men that run this place, and make life hard for them.
Yeah, your beef is for the people that consume. Like, why do you think there's Planned Parenthood's everywhere? They got to eat human flesh. It's the easiest place. Exactly. It's like veal to them. You know that. I think that's why you see more things. Like, have you noticed? Everybody's worried about climate change, which makes me think they're going to propose like that thing, that Operation Dark Star thing, like from The Matrix, when it's blacking out the sky. Oh,
so you reckon the lizards are terraforming Earth, so it's hotter.
Well, dude, and have you? Well, they want it hotter, but they want to black out the sky, like basically like a greenhouse effect, like super greenhouse effect, to protect the ozone layer. We're gonna put this. It's a carbon aluminum. It's like it's chemtrails. Like everybody's scared about chemtrails. You know? And then like they're eating fetuses. So that's why they're encouraging. What do you call it?
Can I just preface here? If anyone listening,
yeah.
We're not crazy. We're just having fun with the rant.
No, it's just. Well, it's like, you know, that's why they encourage people to be
I just want to put that in there because out of context, both you and I could come to some ruin by sharing these views. This is shared in humor, in jest, just needed you to understand
that. That's where they want promiscuity, because if the more promiscuity, that means more aborted children means more food. And the reason they don't want us to use stem cells, and only certain people get to use stem cells, and certain people to get to use it, the politicians and the rich and powerful, like Mel Gibson and Mel Gibson's father and the rest of these people, the connected people, because they don't want the common man to be able to be stronger, be faster. Oh, you'll have a back problem? Now you don't. Now you have, like, basically...
Well, they don't want the non-lizards finding out that the stem cell treatment only works on lizard types that can grow back limbs and tails and whatnot.
Exactly. You can grow back limbs.
It'd be like a reverse of the Cylon test. You'd be able to tell who's who based on how well the stem cells take.
Well, you've seen how they, like, you know, they're pushing the idea of cannibalism, but also, you know what, to save the planet, you got to eat bugs. And you've seen that, right? Have you seen this?
My wife's work sells it. It sells for like 30 grams an 800 milligram tub. People are putting it on their cereal and stuff nowadays.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. They're selling it as like this health food shtick. It's being sold as pure protein.
Yeah. And you're the one that turned me on to Snowpiercer. Snowpiercer, you know how like in 1984 was, you know, everybody's like, oh, fear 1984. 1984 was not a warning sign. It was a roadmap. Snowpiercer, that's a roadmap.
Yeah.
They want us eating bugs at the back of the train, eating children, too. Look at that.
Yeah.
Hey, where are their children going? They're working in the machine. Except instead of being inside the little fixing little things, it's a lot worse than that. Weinstein, that, and the rest of the...
Brian Singer, Brett Ratner.
Yep. Epstein was the guy, the locomotive, and
what's his name? Perlmutter.
Kevin Feige. Look at him. Anybody with half a brain, look at that Kevin Feige. You tell me something ain't right. Something. Yeah. Oh, he's just a straight up normal guy.
I haven't looked at him for a while, actually. Let me have a look at him and go through the first thing that comes through my mind.
As a human being, but also a father.
But okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't leave him alone with my kids.
I was talking to someone. I said, you know, Kevin Feige, he could be caught with a dead little boy. Hypothetically, folks.
See,
hypothetically.
Like, I get the impression you wouldn't find the boy because he ate him.
That's what I'm about to say. A dead little boy that he's eating after. But Disney would cover it up. Because he's made him so much money. That's the thing. Once he outlives his usefulness, they'll throw him to the wolves.
There you go.
Yeah.
Check out these lizard eaters right here.
They look inhuman. It's like, I'm expecting V. I'm expecting them to tear their skin. They're here for our water. You know, that's... This is scary stuff, dude. Scary stuff. But
scary stuff. But yeah, look.
How would you protest, folks? How would you protest? Let us know. You can easily contact us on our social medias, as well as the facebook.com/@kingfrequency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mistaken. That's how you get contact
us there. Circle gets a square there, Larry.
And find me on Twitter and Instagram at Larry King Undead Antonio.
At Antonio Cinchola.
And our email?
podcast@ankingfrequency.com.
And I think that would be it for today, because if the NSA PRISM program, the lizard aliens are eating babies and or controlling mass media, and the Chinese, which are said, hey, Russia, you know how you infiltrated, you know, Soviet Union, how you infiltrated Hollywood with the Red Scare? We're going to do it better. We're going to use their capitalist, you know, own power against them. We're going to buy everything out, make them consume and consume and consume. Scary times, folks.
All I can say is if there isn't a show next week or Larry or I are replaced or missing, then maybe you'll have to find a way to protest it, because I'm telling you this, it wasn't natural causes.
I am not suicidal. I'll tell them that much. I am not suicidal.
Oh, nor am
Never
I.
Never been suicidal.
Never had.
I, there, like, Be very suspicious, folks, if I end up with two bullet holes in the back of my head and you're saying, oh, he shot himself with a shotgun. And I have my shoes on. Google, Kurt Cobain, shoes on. There you go. Look, if you find out, when he found him, he had both shoes on. Unless somebody dressed him, something's up with that. But enough conspiracy time. Until next time, folks, good night and good luck.
Frequency. Copyright 2019 by White Tiger Graphics.